has said that sin is anything that divides or separates between you and God. This is true. God also gives us a more specific definition of sin, or gives us more specific definitions of sin in His Word. It says in the book of 1 John, the transgression of the law, or the moral law of God, is sin. The moral law of God, thou shalt have, let's all read these together. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. Number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Number five, honor thy father and thy mother. This is my favorite. I had seven kids, that's why it's my favorite. Six, thou shalt not kill. Seven, thou shalt not commit adultery. Eight, thou shalt not steal. Nine, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Ten, thou shalt not covet. The Ten Commandments recorded in Exodus chapter 20, where we find these recorded. This doesn't have the full commandment written out there. And actually, these are just what we call a summary of God's moral law, just made into a small, condensed statement. A small statement, a short statement. The Scriptures give us the full explanation as we go through the Word of God. Number three says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. He goes on to say, for he will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. The Tenth Commandment that I want us to consider just for a little time this evening. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. In Leviticus chapter 24, starts in verse 10. There's the story. You can read it if you like. You can read along if you like, but I've just got the story sort of written out here. In Leviticus chapter 10, and it goes down to the end of the chapter, there's a story of a man, two men, but one in particular, two men that got in a fight. Now, the Scriptures tell us that one of these men, he had a father who was an Egyptian. His mother was an Israelite woman. She was one of the people of Israel, but his father was an Egyptian. It's interesting that the Scriptures give us that detail, but he had a fight with another man who was an Israelite. And during this fight, this man who was half Egyptian and half Israelite, the Bible tells us that he blasphemed the name of God and he cursed. Blaspheme God means to say anything against him or against the things that he does. To say, I don't want anything to do with that, or I hate those things that God does, or I hate those things that God is. Now the Bible tells us that his mother's name was Shelomith. Details in the Bible are important. It takes time. Well, you ought to think about them. You know, this man, it tells us he was a man. Even though he was a man, he was involved in something he ought not to have been involved in. He was cursing by the name of the living God. And God tells us that this was his mother's name. And I'll tell you what, when you act out, your mother is involved in it. It doesn't matter how old you are. Your mother's name will be attached to the things that you do that are against God and against His law and against His Word. Your father's name will be attached to it also, but the detail here seems to indicate to us that his mother's name is set down here. And even though he was grown, he's responsible for his own actions. Well, he is, and he is in this situation, but his mother is brought into it. To her shame and her reproach. Not even saying she was responsible for what he did, but what he did brought shame upon his mother. When one of you act out, well, that's Bethany's mama. Let Bethany's mama know Let Caleb's mama know. Let Luke's mama. Yeah, Madison, every one of you. Miss Jen, it does go on in the age. Even though my father's passed away, it would still affect even my father's name or my mother's name. Oh, what about his mom? It doesn't go away. When you do something that's contrary to God's word and you have a public testimony, well, it says in this man's case, they put him in ward, or they set him off to one side, caged him up somewhere or another, and said, you're staying here until we know what the Lord wants us to do with you. And the Lord spoke to Moses and told him that this man who is cursed is to be dragged without the camp, taken without the camp, and they are to stone him to death. Oh, wait a minute. Everybody that heard him, what he said, was to put their hands on him first. Put their hands on him. This is the one who did this. I'm a witness to what he's done. And the whole congregation, everybody took part in stoning him for his sin. And he was put to death for having cursed or taken the Lord's name in vain. On this occasion, you say, well, that's in the Old Testament, and that's the time of law. God did that. Be careful. There were two people in the New Testament who came before the apostles with a bag of money, and they lied. And God smote them dead. Spot. The man first, and then his wife after him, and they lied. God takes his name seriously. He considers his name to be something of great value. But the commandment, thou shalt not take his name in vain, this third commandment, thou shalt not take his name in vain, isn't just cursing and swearing and running at the mouth with a potty mouth. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. This word vain just means what? Anybody know? Something vain? I know John Paul knows. Madison? Okay. You try. Logan? No? Well, not necessarily. Just vain. Yes. It is a sin, but vain simply means empty or worthless. Like it isn't of any value. It doesn't mean a thing. And sometimes it may be that you will hear somebody say, oh my God. I have heard this. You can't help but hear it. Can you? In the day in which we live. And there are times when I have said, God, not to say that. And somebody will say to me, well, I didn't mean anything by it. Well, that's what vain means. I didn't mean anything by it. It's the Lord's name. Sometimes you'll hear, and I do this carefully, right? Sometimes you'll hear someone say, Lordy, Lordy, look who's 40. I know it's a cute or it's a little clip that you see in newspapers, sometimes newspaper ads. I'm sure it runs around Facebook. I don't see very much Facebook, so I don't know if it's there or not. It used to be in the newspaper a lot. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Geez. Well, it's a shortened, you call it a euphemism. It changed the name of Jesus, and instead of saying Jesus, it's, oh, I didn't mean that by it. Thou shalt not. This is a little newer, a little more frequent, a little more recent. But people do this. It's not God. It's God. O-M-G. Oh, that could be, oh my goodness. Well, it could, but this comes from, oh my God. That's where it comes from. Oh, but I didn't mean anything by it. I know. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Oh, there's a place for prayer. There's a place where your heart suddenly comes out. I car slid off the road some years ago in the snow and hit against a tree. But while it was sliding, I was praying, oh, Lord. And I tell you, it was real prayer. But be careful. be sure it's real prayer and not just words flipping off top off of your tongue. This is a real place.
Amen.
And the God of heaven sends people here. It is not the first word. Hell is hot. Hell is furious. Hell is terrible. And it's the just place where the living God sends sinners who will not repent. It's not something just to be tossed out, a word just flipped off the tongue. Damnation is when God sends souls to hell. Oh God, say such a thing? Well, sometimes. Oh no. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Oh, I don't say God, I say gosh. Don't say hell, I say heck. Don't say damn, I say darn. Be careful with your words. These are all words that come from, you know, look it up and see if I'm telling you the truth, but I'm telling you the truth. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God. Is the second commandment, and sin is the transgression of the law. But you know, as serious as I seek to make that sound, and I do want to make it sound serious, that we be careful with our tongues and our minds, the Bible tells us in Psalm 99, verses 2 and 3, the Lord is great in Zion. Psalm 99. I memorized this psalm a long time ago, but I still have to look at it because I haven't reviewed it. So I have to look at it every now and then. Psalm 99, 2 and 3. The Lord is great in Zion, and He is high above all the people. Let them praise Thy great and terrible name, for it is holy. And God's name is a holy name. Holy means that God is separate from all of His creation. Not just separate in that He's different, but He's separate in that He's great. He's infinite in His majesty and His glory and His wonder and His power. There's no sin in God, and His name is a holy name. And so we're careful how we use His name. It's not something that's just spit off the tongue, either as a curse word, nor as something that doesn't mean anything. I just say these things and pop off the tongue they come. Because His name is a holy name. In Psalm 139 in verse 20, this is why I'm so serious on this particular subject. It says, "For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain." Oh, I didn't think that I was one of God's enemies. I'm one of His children. I'm a Christian. I'm one of His people. Thine enemies. His enemies do take His name in vain, it's true. Sadly, sometimes His people do also. And we need to be reminded and corrected that we not continue on in such a manner. You know, in Psalm 33, verse 21, it says, "We have trusted in His holy name." Oh, His name is something that I can rest in and that I can have confidence in. Everything that there is about the God of heaven, the creator of the heavens and the earth, everything there is about Him, I can trust. I can trust His love. I can trust His mercy. I can trust His grace. I can trust His anger and His displeasure. He's true to His word. I can trust everything that there is about Him, that the Bible tells me about Him. I can trust it, for His name is a holy name. We've trusted in His holy name. No, there's even more to His name. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 7, it says, "For scarcely," some of you know this verse, "for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure a good man," or "for a good man, some would even dare to die." Now, it's hard to find somebody who will die for you, or die for something that you're doing, or that you think is important enough to die for it. It's kind of hard to find that. In World War II, there were millions of German men who were willing to die for Hitler. all the way to the very end of that war, they worshiped the man. They truly did. You can read the stories. The men give this testimony after the war that they would have died for him. And there were millions of Germans that died in that war because they were serving him. It's hard to find a man who's worth dying for. It's hard to find someone you'd be willing to die for. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Lord Jesus Christ died for his enemies. Not those that loved him, not those who cared for him, but you know, we're his enemies. We're born into this world as the enemies of God. So when it says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, it's not just a commandment of what we don't do, but there is within the commandment of what we do do and how we do use his name, for his name is a worthy name. It's a name that's worth attaching yourself to. You know, when you're a Christian, the book of Acts, it tells us they were called Christians. What are they doing? They're putting Jesus' name on his followers. Well, they're Christians. They're like him. They're like this one that's called Jesus. Well, that's quite a badge. Some people say they were mocking them. Perhaps they were, but hey, call me a Christian. I want to be known that way. If you forget my name, say that Christian man over there. That would be a good testimony because his name is worthy. He died for his enemies. And I was one of those enemies he died for. And I'd much rather people knew Jesus' name than Mark's name. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, every knee shall bow, and it will happen. At his name, every knee shall bow. Things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God and the Father. He has a worthy name, for he's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is the mighty God, the ruler of all the heavens and the earth, all of the kings of all the earth, all of the great and powerful and important men that walk down red carpets and fly around in big jets and command armies to go here and command armies to go there, all of them. They're going to bow their knee to him one day, one way or another. If you bow your knee to him or you submit to him now, then you're taking his worthy name to yourself, and you're not forced to submit to him. But you know his name is a name that's worthy both to live for and it's a name worthy to die for. For in Acts 15:26, it says that men that hazarded their lives, why? For the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had, you know what a hazard is? The hazarded their lives, what does that mean? That expression. They hazarded their lives. They risked their lives, yes. They were looking like this. There was a council at Jerusalem. All these believers, these men came together. They were having to discuss some issues about Christianity and the church and the book of Acts and Acts chapter 15. And they all talked about it and they came to their conclusion. They wrote it down. And they chose Paul and Silas, and then they chose some other men to take their conclusions and to carry it to other churches and believers and people in other places. But they chose men who had hazarded their lives. They put their lives at risk, maybe stoning, maybe some other way of being put to death. But they did this for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. His name is a name that's worth dying for. I'm a Christian. My name is attached to Jesus Christ. It is worth dying for him. If you don't know Mark Lager, know that fella that's a Christian over there. Oh, that's the way to be known. Because it's a worthy name. Well, when you don't live, or you don't speak, you don't use words in a manner that's pleasing unto him, and you say, I'm a Christian, what are you doing? Well, in a way, you're taking his name in vain. I'm a Christian, but I'm living this way. I'm a Christian, and I lip off to my mom. I'm a Christian, and I sneak around on my folks. I'm a Christian, and I'm cutting up when I'm supposed to be not cutting up. I'm a Christian, but I'm doing other things. In a way, you're taking his name in vain. But his name's a worthy name. And he's a worthy Savior who's full of mercy, love, kindness, and forgiveness. But don't forget, he says, thine enemies, take thy name in vain. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Think on these things. Say, Lord, let's pray. Lord, help me to be careful how I use your name, that I not bring shame or reproach to the name of Jesus Christ. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we ask that you would write your word on our hearts and be careful, that we would be careful, each one of us in our own hearts. Careful how we use your name, the life that we live, that we not bring shame or reproach to your name, that you would be glorified in all that we say and do. Lord, thank you for your word that you teach us and instruct us in those things that are for our good and our well-being. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.